friends, ladies and gentlemen. So somebody had a funny line about that once. I can't remember the rest of it. Anyhow, very glad to have you all along, wherever you are around this struggling, belabored planet of ours. I just wish I had a bright light ahead that I could say is the daylight, but we're heading into still darker times, and we've got to be strong. We have to prepare. We have to take care of ourselves and our loved ones to the best of our ability. And they have made it as difficult as humanly possible to do that by splitting and fracturing families, jobs, destroying businesses. This is, remember, as I've told you for several years now, it's all being done by a plan. There is no coincidence. There are no happenstances. It's all planned. And as you heard right on this program, that one interview that Bobby Malone did, where he admitted that this has all been gamed for over 20 years by many different countries. I think he said 40 countries were involved in the gaming. They don't make mistakes. They know precisely what they're doing. That's the adversary that we're up against. Now, Mitchell Henderson is back tonight with his views on Ukraine, and we know full well now, I hope we made it crystal clear to you, that Ukraine is a cesspool of Western fascist garbage, and two of the biggest items floating in that cesspool are the Bidens, of course, but there are many others. Zelensky, the little skinny twerp Zionist, fraud with his, I think it's Miami or somewhere down there. She's got a big pad. Look, the best thing that happened to the Ukrainian people was, I guess, was Putin being pushed over the line by NATO and the West. They forced him into this. No question. You get that. You already know. All right, Mitch, hello and welcome back.
Hello, Jeff. Good to be here. You know, the news is moving along so fast that within just in the past hour, I've had to make several edits to my monologue because of new things that came out. So
wow, well, all right, yeah, things are happening quickly. All right, I'm looking forward to hearing it. So have at it.
Okay, so this I titled "The First Casualties of the Ukrainian War." Okay, so first I'm going to talk about controlling the narrative. Let me start by saying that since Russia invaded Ukraine, that many sources of information have been blocked by the Western powers. There is no side that deviates from the expected anti-Russia narratives. What you just have to dig deeper and search harder. What governments have not banned, the group Anonymous has taken upon himself to hack and block all non-Western approved narratives.
Uh-huh.
But it is the social media corporations that are deplatforming, canceling, and blocking content that does not fit the radical Marxist global homo narrative that its social justice warrior leaderships impose. The first objective of the accelerationist project of the World Economic Forum is to capture the means of communication. They say this in their manifesto. Okay, this is from them. That's not me. If you can control communication, you can control the narrative, and controlling the narrative is how you control the sheeple. Okay, an example. Okay, do you remember when the mainstream media interviewed a NASCAR driver after a race, and the people in the stands were screaming "F Biden," and the reporters said they were saying "Let's go Brandon" in an attempt to shape the narrative? Okay. So do Republicans do that? Yes, they do. On Friday the 25th, I was listening to the Dan Bongino show on the radio. He played a tape of a massive anti-war protest in Moscow. He said that they were saying no war in Russian. I heard them yelling Biden nyet, which of course means no Biden. The narrative was changed from no Biden to no war. To say no war in Russian is nyet voyny. And voyny doesn't sound anything like Biden, okay?
No.
Which sounds nothing like Biden at all. It's not Biden yet. mudding it, is what they were saying. I mean, you could hear it on the radio. So CBS News even started pushing the narrative that we have inflation, high gas prices, and supply chain issues solely because Russia invaded the Ukraine. It is Putin's fault. Although we Americans have been watching the destruction of our democracy and our economy for over a year under the pedophile, racist, Marxist, totalitarian Biden regime, CBS actually thinks we are so stupid that we would blame Putin for what Biden has done.
They do. They actually do. They think the sheep are that dumb. And tragically,
yes, they do.
They have an argument. It's not their fault that they're dumb. They've been dumbed down. How the hell do you learn when you're told lie after lie for endlessly? You can't. So it's not, I don't blame the people. They've been duped, deceived, beaten into a bloody pulp.
I dig everywhere. I tried to listen to everybody, Jeff, and I tried to use that military analysis and police analysis to figure out what the truth is. But I saw a very interesting item this morning. If you're familiar with The Hill, it's a political thing. But Kim Iverson was on there today, and she pointed out the lies and fake photos and videos being produced by mainstream media to stir up hatred of Russians. So, point, a picture of Zelensky in camo gear on the front line that she had used in her reporting turned out to be a picture taken in April 19th, 2021, long before the invasion. Now, she's the one who showed the picture. She's the one that found out it was bogus, and she admitted to it. So there's a little integrity there. And then she pointed out German news showing the bombing of Kiev. The video that the German press used was actually a video of a chemical factory blowing up in Tianjin, China, in 2015. It was a humongous explosion. Then Newsmax, who's right wing, okay, conservative, used a picture of an elderly Ukrainian woman standing in front of her destroyed home crying. This was a photo, a stock photo from 2015 that has been widely circulated.
I've seen it several times. You're right, Mitch. I've seen it. Oh, yes.
Yeah, me too. So Italian broadcast news showing videos of the war in Ukraine that are actually clips from a video game called War Thunder. Okay, this isn't just how lazy our journalists are, Jeff. This is how lazy our intelligence people are. Okay, so then there was a story about 13 Ukrainian soldiers defending Snake Island that refused to surrender, and all 13 fighting to the death. Zelensky gave them posthumous medals of valor. The fact, very well documented, is that there were 82 Ukrainian soldiers on the island that surrendered when they ran out of ammunition. The Russians captured them, fed, and housed them. Not one died. Not one. Okay, then there was a video of a Russian tank callously and inhumanely running a civilian car over in Kiev, crushing all inside. The truth was that it was a Ukrainian tank that lost control and ran over the car.
And there was only one person inside, and they got the guy out.
Right, he got out, So a touching story of a crying Ukrainian soldier saying goodbye to his wife before he goes off to the front to fight for the Russians. The video is actually of a Russian in Donetsk saying goodbye to his wife, who is leaving for the safety of Russia. A video of a Ukrainian jet shooting down six Russian fighters in one day in a single dogfight. He is called the Ghost of Kiev. That video comes from the video game called Digital Combat Simulator. Zelensky awarded that pilot a Medal of Valor, and the picture of the pilot in full gear with a helmet shield down was shown on media outlets. You cannot see the face of the pilot, and the picture was a stock photo taken in 2015. A ghost, indeed. CNN showing a picture of the first American journalist killed in the Ukrainian war. The photo is of an American journalist killed several years ago in Afghanistan. So a ghost journalist, okay? So Kim Iverson said that the majority of the fake war news is against the Russians. After 2 years of mainstream media lies about the so-called pandemic and so-called vaccines, we should be wary of anything that the mainstream media or government officials tell us. They're all lies all of the time. Our generals are saying that Russia is doing poorly. Should we believe them? No. It is the initiator of war that sets the benchmarks of success. Our social justice warrior slash political correct military leadership has not won a war since 1991. We won that war with overwhelming force and better experience and trained soldiers. The military we have now is a poor reflection of what our military used to be. In those days, I did not mind going to war with the men that were serving with me and the leadership that we truly had. That is gone now, forever. We will never recover from the neglect and political correctness of the Clinton administration, the contracting everything out period of the Bush administration under Cheney and Rumsfeld, the social justice warrior period of the Obama administration, and the Trump administration, where nothing changed or improved under Trump because our military ignored the commander-in-chief because his generals and admirals were disloyal to their boss. And now the full-blown xenofeminist and cultural Marxist, pedophile racist Marxist Biden regime and what they have done to the military, you know, purges of white supremacists.
Well,
and so
the destruction of the military began under Obama and
Mike Robinson. I was there when he started dissembling it. Okay.
Well, so let me go back with you on that. Hold on.
Okay.
You're right, and that is the beginning. And the beginning was marked when Clinton ordered all the top generals of a certain political bent to fly to Washington for a meeting at the Pentagon. What happened to that airplane with all those generals on it? It crashed, and they all died. Funniest thing, huh? You're right.
Yeah,
it started under the Clintons.
This thing's going to happen with when you're hanging around the Clintons. it's a common occurrence. Okay.
I think it crashed in Alabama or Arkansas. You can look it up. But they all died.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and then when Obama came in, I think he fired 194 generals and admirals as soon as he got in.
Well, he's doing what his papa, Frank Marshall Davis, taught him to do so well.
Yeah.
He's a communist. You know, that's what he does.
So, the current status of the war. After the invasion began, a U.N. Security Council meeting was called to condemn Russia for its actions. It was proposed as a non-binding resolution so that it would require nobody voting against Russia to take any actions or be a part of any actions taken. Predictably, Russia vetoed the resolution. However, three nations on Security Council abstained from voting: China, India, and the United Arab Emirates. China and India, that's close to it's 3/8 of the world's population in those two countries. That is now Russia's market, now that we've sanctioned them. Okay. So not everybody wants to sanction Russia at all. This is an old game. The USA put sanctions on North Korea in 1950, Cuba in 1958, Iran 1979, Syria 1986, and Venezuela in 2019. Sanctions have consistently hurt Americans, making our lives more expensive, but never having a real impact on the sanctioned nations. Okay. Also, when we put sanctions on a country, we rarely ever take them off. Okay. We never change anything with sanctions. We have sanctions right now on 28 of the 195 nations on Earth. We even put sanctions on Turkey for buying Russian S-400 anti-missile systems. If you don't obey the USA, you get sanctioned. Turkey is, of course, against imposing sanctions on Russia because they have had it done to them, and because Turkey gets 46% of their energy from Russia, and the bulk of their tourist industry is from vacationing Russians. It would destroy their tourist industry. In fact, many nations hate America for their bullying and demands of obedience. We are the dictator of the world, and the world would like it to be free from us. We are the new communist imperialist oppressors. We take peace away from the world. We make doing business difficult, and we obstruct trade. Other nations are starting to opt out of the U.S. dollar as the international trade reserve currency. Remember that it was George Soros that destroyed the British pound as a reserve currency to concentrate it in the dollar. Soros subjugated the UK, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand to the United States when he did that.
Let me add something here. Turkey is, you know, Erdogan. He wants to be the new sultan. So they're playing power politics. Turkey has now blocked Russian warships from passing through the straits there. And this is going to be a real point of contention between Russia and Turkey. The move came after Ukraine asked Turkey to prevent the transit of Russian warships from the Mediterranean to the Black Sea. So right now, Erdogan has blocked the Russian Navy from passing through the Bosphorus en route to the Black Sea. Not a smart move.
The whole story on that is, yes, he has, but Russia already sent all the ships that wanted into the Black Sea before the blockade. And Erdogan said if there's any Russian ships that are just going to their home port, naval ships going to their home port, and, of course, Sevastopol in Crimea is a major home port for the Russian Navy. It's one of the two big ones, and the other one's around St. Petersburg. So they have a Baltic fleet and a Black Sea fleet, in the west. And so he said if they're on their way back to base, they can go back to base. They can pass through.
It's a leaky block. Okay, so
yeah,
you can go back to port, get service, get re-outfitted, and.
Right.
Okay, interesting.
And I had studied the Russian naval movements before this invasion broke out, and they had sent amphibious ships and all kinds of Navy ships into the Black Sea before it broke out. The Russian advance in Ukraine, including taking most of Kherson and Zaporizhzhia provinces in the south, prior to the invasion, after Russia and Belarus recognized Donetsk and Luhansk republics as independent, Putin said he would support their claim to the whole province, not just the half they currently held. They got the impression that the next Russian move would be to take the rest of these provinces, say the Ukrainians. The Russians did not initially invade from that area at all. They made no moves from that area. Because Ukrainian forces were concentrated there. In the northeast, the Russians took most of Sumy and Kharkov provinces and northern Kiev province. They have surrounded the major cities of Kharkiv and Kiev, but not taken them. Remember what I said about Mao's Ten Commandments of War. You bypass strong cities and take them later when you can concentrate forces against them.
Oh, hell yes.
They're doing that today.
Encircle them, cut off their transportation, cut off their food, their petroleum, cut off everything, and they'll give up.
Sure. Freeze them out. So Russia can take some of the provinces easier than the others because they have ethnic Russians already living there. Mostly Russian province is Odessa, and that adjoins Russian Transdniestria in Moldova.
Right.
Predominantly Russian province are Mykolaiv, Kherson, Dnipro province, Zaporizhzhia, Donetsk, Luhansk, and Kharkiv. Large ethnic Russian majorities are in Sumy province. However, this is the rosy Western picture. I found a graphic from the Ukraine, itself that shows Russia currently controlling all of southern Ukraine from the Donbass to Moldova, controlling all of eastern Ukraine and all of northeastern Ukraine. The Ukrainians show Russia occupying 11 of Ukraine's provinces, leaving the Ukraine with control of only 12 provinces. Russia, according to Ukraine, already has taken half of the country. But we don't get told that.
Okay. No, of course not. I believe your statistics are in all probability
correct. They want to drag us into something very dirty, which I'll get into, and they have to convince us that Russia's weak,
Hey,
but
I've got a question for you.
The story from Ukraine's a different story,
Okay, very good. Very good, Mitch. Good. Hold on. We have a break coming up here in about a minute. Let me put this out there.
Okay.
I'm going to see what you have to say about it. And we know the standard rifle for the Ukraine army is either an AK-47 or an AK-74. Why were 100 tons of 5.56 ammo brought into western Ukraine within the past 2 weeks? Who's that for? They only run in AR-15s. That's either NATO troops or U.S. troops. So they're pre-positioning 5.56 or 223 ammo in western Ukraine. 100 tons brought in. That's the story. Now, I didn't see it. I can't vet for it or vouch for it. I wish I could vet the damn story. I can't.
When I continue later, you may start thinking that maybe there's more credibility to that. Okay. I'll get to that.
Well, I tend to think there is, and I'm looking. We got to take a break here. My sense is they're going to cut off southwestern Ukraine and make it an independent buffer, so to speak. And they may even bring in some peacekeepers. But if NATO steps in there, they're going to get their ass kicked. That's what's going to happen. That's kind of the problem I see when you talk about potential extrapolation to thermonuclear war. The NATO has to keep itself out of there completely. And I don't know what that ammo is there for, but hold on a minute. We'll come right back with you, Mitch, and we'll continue. Mitchell Henderson. Okay, gang, we're back, and Mitch Henderson is here doing one of his remarkable treatises on current geopolitical and, in this case, military disasters. And I'm talking about the lies, the grotesque lies coming out of Ukraine. How can they have tried to pull off this absolutely asinine claim that one pilot in an old MiG-25 shot down six state-of-the-art Russian jets? And it turns out it was from a video game. How funny is that? Ugh.
So Putin has warned that sanctioning on SWIFT would mean nuclear war. NATO troops entering Russia, Belarus, or Ukraine.
Say, Mitch, excuse me. Please start. Excuse me. Start out again and say that again. I want everyone to hear that.
Okay. So Putin has warned that sanctioning on SWIFT, and he means the whole country on SWIFT, would mean nuclear war. NATO troops entering Russia, Belarus, or Ukraine will trigger a nuclear war. His forces are on alert. Okay, so FEMA, taking these threats seriously, advised Americans to get to the basement of the center of tall buildings, wear a mask, and social distance inside.
When did FEMA do that? Wait. When did FEMA do this?
Today.
I need the story. I missed that one. Oh, this is interesting. So much for our civil defense, huh?
Put a mask on and social distance.
Yeah, how funny.
Like, that's going to protect you from a nuclear war.
It's a joke. That's civil defense. Meanwhile, Moscow, the entire population of Moscow has underground nuclear shelters ready for them, circling the entire city. Nobody knows about that over here. The Russians have taken civil defense seriously. We were sold out in the 50s. Go ahead.
Yep. So let me translate that for you. You're going to die while doing these pointless and worthless countermeasures. They will do nothing to protect you at all. The same liars that said vaccines would protect you from the disease, when they offer no protection at all, are the evil idiots that are now telling you to do worthless things in the event of a nuclear war. Wear your mask and social distance. Yeah, right. They don't know how to protect anyone. They only know how to impose obedience tests on American subjects. You'll notice I don't say American citizens anymore, because we're not citizens. We're subjects of the evil Biden regime. Okay. So the question came up, why is Russia going slow? I had lots of people ask me this. So you have to understand that Russia has the initiative. They decide the pace of the war. While Putin is playing 4D chess, the West is playing 2D checkers, okay? In Sun Tzu's Art of War, he says, when you are weak, appear strong, what the West is doing. When you are strong, appear weak, what Russia is doing. When you are close, appear far away, what Russia is doing. When you are far away, appear close, what the West is doing. Putin is playing on the overwhelming arrogance and hubris of the West. He is setting a trap, and the arrogant woke people will fall for it. The woke people are going to get you killed. They're going to get us all killed. The longer the Russians take, the West becomes more emboldened because they underestimate Russia. You know, I did this my whole career, like overseas or in the police department working undercover. Is I always allowed people to underestimate me as much as possible. Okay, you always want to do that in a fight. Remember, Russia is so far has only committed 6 of its 70 combat divisions to Ukraine. He clearly expects a world war. He even wants one to rid the planet of the woke social justice warriors and cultural Marxism. This canon will lead to Western miscalculations, like imposing a swift blackout on all Russian banks. Actually, they've only done it on 4 so far. Like Finland and Sweden, saying that they were going to join NATO. Russia warned them that any moves to do so means he will invade their nations before they can join NATO. Russian Foreign Minister spokeswoman Maria Zakharova said, and I'm quoting, "We view Finland's course for maintaining the policy of military non-alignment as an important factor contributing to the stability and security of Northern Europe and on the European continent as a whole. There are consistent efforts by NATO and some of its members, primarily the U.S., to drag Finland as well as Sweden into the alliance. Russia will take retaliatory steps, and there will be serious and political consequences." As a cop interrogating suspects and witnesses, I learned to pay close attention to what is said and its implication. When Russia says serious military consequences, it means military invasion. When it says consequences, it means that Russia will absorb them into its nation. Keep in mind that Finland has only 5 million people and Sweden only 10 million people. Uh-huh. They can't fight Russia.
No. All right. Let me add something to what you're saying. This is important. Now, I don't pretend to have Pentagon clearance, okay? I think a lot of us can guess pretty much what's going on there, but I do have one or two sources, and one of them has especially been proven right over and over again for the last several years. I'm not going to say he or she said anything. I'm just going to tell you that the way it looks right now is that in all likelihood, there are already pre-positioned, let's say 20 megaton warheads on the seafloor off the east and west coasts and the Gulf Coast of the U.S. The idea being, of course, is to ignite those 20 megaton warheads, the same size that's on that Poseidon torpedo they talk about, that has a 5,000-mile range, at a depth of 300 feet, at a speed of over 110 miles an hour, that is unstoppable. There are already pre-positioned nuclear weapons along both east and west coast and the Gulf Coast of the U.S. In addition to that, there are at least 2 submarines off each coast from Russia that have 16 intercontinental Bulava missiles that have on board each one of them 16 warheads, okay? So 160
on each one of those warheads.
Yes, do the math. Do the math.
Each set.
Do the math. 1,600 warheads. Anyhow, the Chinese have submarines off both coasts. We're screwed if we allow these morons to do anything in Europe that will... Putin's had it. He's finished. He's not playing any more games. He's done.
No,
the
he's
man
not.
Always keeps his word. He keeps his word.
Listen, the Russian people have suffered for 20 years. They have given up a good middle-class lifestyle in order to support the Russian military for this
That's
decade.
Right. That's right.
They love their military. Okay.
That's right.
Take note of another thing they said here. NATO and some of its members. Russia knows it will not have to fight NATO members Croatia, Hungary, Bulgaria, or Turkey. Unfortunately, the historically neutral nations like Finland, Sweden, and Switzerland will be nuclear targets this time. While the pedophile Marxist Biden says that NATO is united on this matter, he lies. NATO is not united in their efforts. Those who don't pick on Russia will inherit Europe. They have very much to gain and everything to lose in fighting Russia. NATO is a suicide pact at this moment, and some members know it.
Well said.
Sweden has already backed down. Magdalena Andersson, the Prime Minister, said that neither NATO nor Russia will be dictating defense policy to Sweden. Okay. Another reason why Putin wants to draw out the war in Ukraine is because he can. He can take it at his own speed. I mean, I saw those rockets going off in the picture in the headlines. It's just awesome. But I've seen the other
on my homepage, the
yes,
Grad rockets.
Right. And when they hit, it is just awesome in its power. Okay.
And those are World War II grade. They were invented for World War II use by the Soviet Army.
Yes. Yeah.
They called Stalin's organ or something stupid like that. But they're much better now. They're more accurate.
Yeah, these are more improved,
They're not guided missiles, but they sure as hell can hit a target that is laid out for them within a reasonable plus or minus. There's no problem there. Look at that. It's the top video. I put two of them up on the homepage. Just look at that.
Yeah,
that's just
awesome.
Five batteries. Five batteries of Grad rockets. Five. Go ahead.
So the longer that Putin drags this out, the more pain it will cause the Western alliance. Inflation will soar, fuel prices will soar. The more they will crack down on dissent, the more people in the West will hate their totalitarian dictators for imposing this pain on them. Not for their own interest, but for the interest of the Biden family that is bought for by the Ukrainians. Ukraine is vital interest to the Biden family, not to anybody else. Russia, China, Iran, and many other nations want to destroy the dollar as the world reserve currency. The USA uses it as a weapon to control other nations. China has proposed the yuan as a new world reserve currency, saying it will be neutral. They will not wield the yuan as a bludgeon against any nation. It will be politically neutral, unlike the dollar. So let's do the math. Printing money is the cause of inflation. Printing money for other nations to use for trade is exporting inflation. When the U.S. dollar is no longer the world reserve currency, all of the money comes home. Then the USA has hyperinflation on the scale of the Weimar Republic. I have myself, a 20 billion mark postage stamp from Germany printed during the Weimar Republic. Are you ready to spend $20 billion to send a first-class letter? This reminds me of a Saturday Night Live skit I saw during the Carter presidency. Dan Aykroyd, playing as Carter, says, I'm paraphrasing here because I'm just taking this from memory. He says, my fellow Americans, how would you like to live in a $10 million home, drive a $1 million car, smoke $10,000 cigars? Well, with inflation, we can all have these things. So I thought it was funny at the time, but it may be appropriate for these times. So Ukraine is vital to North Africa, which is also not vital to us. But when North Africa, which gets most of its grain from Ukraine, begins starving, our food prices will go up because it is the USA that will give our food to North Africa for humanitarian reasons after we have forgotten that it was Peter Joe's pocketbook that demands that we pay for what corruption he has engaged in. When will Americans get sick of paying a hefty price so that the woke sexual perverts can have the most power in the world? They have sold their souls to Satan for that power and influence, and we are their slaves.
Assuming they had anything to sell.
Yeah, power comes from money. The less money our government has, the better. Government wealth is the root of the people's oppression. Now, with their selfish desire for power, they want you to pay with your lives. China is waiting for the situation to get worse in Europe before they attack Taiwan. They are already planning on it. March and April are the sunniest time in the Taiwan Strait. For an amphibious invasion, you need clear skies for air support. Certain weapons also work better in the light. The beginning of spring is the driest, and it gets rainier as you go forward towards June. They have cemented good relationship with North Korea, which will invade the South soon after China invades Taiwan. Then Iran will attack Israel because the U.S. will be bogged down. At some
do you know
point,
how many,
Serbia
do you know
will
how many artillery? Do you know how many artillery tubes Kim has in North Korea pointed towards Seoul?
60,000 pointed at Seoul.
You got it.
50% of the Korean population lives in Seoul.
You
it's
got
an easy
it.
Walk for him.
60,000.
Right.
Pieces of artillery that can hit Seoul. 60,000. And most of them are in caves, and they'll roll them out, shoot them, and roll them back.
I was at a place called Yorwon in Korea, and they had a six-hour constant firefight, artillery firefight. And, let me just say it was very impressive, okay? For 6 hours straight, American and North Korean artillery exchanged fire. I got to witness that.
Let me tell you something about Ukraine that no one knows. I was told about this a few days ago. At the end of the war, the big war, World War II, there was a treaty signed, and it was signed with Russia and all the big powers and Germany. Germany gave Ukraine to Russia. That was agreed upon by everyone. Russia has legally, by treaty, owned Ukraine ever since. When we overthrew the government there 8 years ago, Putin began to plan for this time, which we're seeing right now. If you look at the bottom graphic on my homepage, the first or second image up, it's a 100-year-old poster showing, this is after the Bolshevik overthrow of Russia, showing Ukraine as depicted as the heart, the beating heart of all of Russia. Look at it and understand the history of how Ukraine has always been Russian.
Well, yeah. If you talk to Russians, they'll say Ukrainians are Russians. I mean, listen, I told you before, my mother's family, they came from Slovakia and Ukraine. When I was a kid, we were watching Khrushchev banging his shoe on the table, and I was laughing at him. I was pretty young then. And my grandfather, who was Slovak and Ukrainian, he took me aside, and he said, listen, he says, laugh at the Bolshevik, but don't laugh at the Russians. The Russian people are our people. We're like them. Don't make fun of them. They're not our enemies. They're us. It's the Bolsheviki is the problem. Well, here we are today. The Bolsheviki run our country, and Russia's free of them now. So, wow, how things turn. So the last thing I want to touch upon is what will trigger a nuclear war with Russia, okay? Because people have to think about this. To discern what will trigger a nuclear war, we need to look at what red lines Russia has drawn. The Russian nuclear forces are in the highest alert already. Russia has said that sanctioning them with a full swift block will be considered an act of war by those nations that impose the swift sanctions. The EU, UK, Canada, and US decided to impose extremely tough swift restrictions on Russia, but it does not kick all Russian banks out of swift. Even the pedophile Marxist Biden regime agreed not to cut Russia off from energy payments because Italy, Germany, Hungary, and France refused such an action. The MSM says that it is really hurting Russian bad. The ruble has already crashed, they say. However, the UK paper, The Guardian, reported today that the only Russian bank sanctions were banks that were already sanctioned. So this is showmanship and virtue signaling for us in the West. If Putin says he will nuke us, he means it. But we didn't sanction any banks that weren't already sanctioned. So we're really showing weakness. The second red line is if any NATO nation attacks Russia or enters Ukraine. Last week, the idiot protophile Marxist Biden said that U.S. Cyber Command can do intense damage to Russia with cyber attacks to help Ukraine. Putin said that cyber attacks will be considered an act of war by NATO, and there will be a nuclear response.
When did he say that? How recent? How recent?
That was a week ago.
Okay. All right. Very good.
So if you hear more chatter about kicking Russia out of SWIFT, or a NATO country is talking about invading Russian territory, or if there is a large cyber attack on Russian infrastructure, then head for the hills, because Putin is no longer patient with the woke West. As a final thing, today, the pedophile Marxist Biden regime, along with Marxist Democrats and imperialist Republicans, have suggested that NATO declare a no-fly zone over Ukraine enforced by NATO air forces, including bombing Russian radar facilities situated on Russian territory. Okay, so the Council of Foreign Relations, Richard Haass, said we should attack Russia and overthrow Putin. Now, the Council of Foreign Relations is very important, because that's what we always end up doing. Okay, so there's nobody on the American people's side. Most Republicans and most Democrats want a war with Russia. They're not our friends. You know, they don't represent us. You know, polls say that 80% of Americans, something like that, support what we're doing in Ukraine, support Ukrainians. It almost makes me vomit to watch Fox News now, because they're there saying, oh, the poor Ukrainian people, and we stand with Ukraine, and all this stuff. Yeah. And it's like,
good, go over there and stand with them.
What's happened to them? They've become the same idiots that the mainstream media has come. They were gloating about how the mainstream media lost its viewership and Fox is at the top. Now they're doing the very thing that's going to put them down in the pit with MSNBC and CNN. Okay. They're towing the party line. They don't realize that this whole thing, the pedophile Biden is doing this to win the midterm elections, and Fox News is helping him do that. Okay, it's like in America we have no friends in the media, no friends in power. There's nobody on our side in our government. Okay, it's pathetic, actually. So, anyways, those are just some of the things to look for if you hear chatter about those things going on. I mean, I'm very conflicted. I'm like, you know, actually, can the United States and NATO do something stupid in just the next few days?
Yes.
Yes, they can. Okay. I have no faith in them at all. I think they're a bunch of idiots. Yeah. Both NATO leaders, well, Jens Stoltenberg's a communist. What the hell? You know, the head of NATO, the Secretary General of NATO, is a lifelong communist.
Yep.
And we're trusting these people's decision making. These people who know nothing, who don't study their study. I went over it in the last time, how older American intelligence people say that modern intelligence people know nothing about the countries that they're supposed to cover. You know, they don't really know anything. They have like a social justice warrior education about Russia and China. So they don't really know how Russians think or how Chinese think. They don't think like we do. Okay. I mean, I have a little bit of feeling, a little bit of a feel of the way that Russians think, because my mother's family is Slavic, and, well, they're cold, hard, resolute people. Okay.
Right. Well, soldiers
they have a big
in the
heart,
Russian,
but they can be, they can be extremely harsh. Okay.
As the Russian soldier says, we know how to die.
Right.
They're tough.
Exactly.
I would not want to mess with them at all. Mitchell, thank you. Excellent summary as always. And a lot's going to happen before your next visit here. Yeah, and I agree with you that these jackasses in NATO and Biden, his creepy son, and others that we don't even have names for.
I can't even watch Ned Price or John Kirby talk anymore. It's just so apparently bullshit and lies that it's hard for me to be patient with their lies.
Concur.
You know?
I totally concur. Thank you, Mitchell Henderson. We'll talk soon, Mitch. Okay.
Okay.
Good
bye-bye.
Job. All righty. Okay. There's 3 hours for you. And we'll be back and do it again tomorrow. Thanks for being here. And if that, pardon me, if that NATO contingent does anything stupid, we could be in a very bad situation very quickly. I don't know. I'm going to look into this NATO issue. I'm watching the FEMA report. Anyhow, stay alert. Thanks for being here. Talk to you tomorrow.